We're in Deuteronomy chapter 4 this evening. We're working our way through this ancient book of Deuteronomy, a real kind of key book in the Old Testament. It kind of sits at the top of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. It's a very significant book in terms of explaining the rest of the Bible story. It's a book that really mattered to Jesus because he quotes from it lots. And so we're going to be spending our Sunday evenings in this book. So it's really important. If you don't have a Bible in front of you, please put a hand up, and someone would love to bring you one. There's one in the middle over here, one over there as well. Thanks so much. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Just to remind you what we're listening to while we dish out those last few Bibles, we are listening to Moses, the servant of God, whom God had used to rescue his people out of Egypt, and journey them to the promised land. They've then spent another journey, we looked at this, 40 years kind of wandering around the desert because of their disobedience. But what we're hearing in Deuteronomy is Moses preaching, it is sermons, to the people of God as they are about to enter into this land that God had promised to give them. And the big kind of theme that we're seeing in this book is that Moses is exhorting, calling the people of God to love the one who first loved them, to love the one who has rescued them out of Egypt. And so we're listening in to these sermons of exhortation to the people of God. And we're going to pick it up. This is the end of sermon number one. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we're going to read the first 40 verses. Now, Israel, hear the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them, so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your hearts as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and they may teach them to their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens, with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commands you to follow, and then wrote them on two stone tablets. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and laws you are to follow in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You saw no form of any kind the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the fire. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully so that you do not become corrupt and make for yourselves an idol, an image of any shape, whether formed like a man or a woman, or like any animal on earth, or any bird that flies in the air, or like any creature that moves along the ground, or any fish in the waters below. And when you look up to the sky and see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshipping things the Lord your God has appointed to all the nations under heaven. But as for you, the Lord took you and brought you out of the iron smelting furnace, out of Egypt, to be the people of his inheritance, as you now are. The Lord was angry with me because of you, and he solemnly swore that I would not cross the Jordan and enter the good land the Lord your God is giving you as your inheritance. I will die in this land. I will not cross the Jordan, but you are about to cross over and take possession of that good land. Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. After you have had children and grandchildren and have lived in the land a long time, if you then become corrupt and make any kind of idol, doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God and arousing his anger, I call the heavens and the earth as witness against you this day that you will quickly perish from the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You will not live there long, but will certainly be destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few of you will survive among the nations to which the Lord will drive you. There you will worship man-made gods of wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or eat or smell. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in later days you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your ancestors, which he confirmed to them by oath. Ask now about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created human beings on the earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything so great as this ever happened, or has anything like it ever been heard of? Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire as you have and lived? Has any God ever tried to take for himself one nation out of another nation by testings, by signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds like all the things the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? You were shown these things so that you might know the Lord is God. Besides him, there is no other. From heaven, he made you hear his voice to discipline you. On earth, he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words from out of the fire. Because he loved your ancestors and chose their descendants after them, he brought you out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength, to drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you, and to bring you into their land, to give it to you for your inheritance as it is today. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. Keep his decrees and commands, which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. Friends, this is the word of God to us this evening. And if you've closed your Bible, please open it again to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And with that open in front of us, let's pray together and seek God's help. Our Father in heaven, in many ways, we simply want to say amen to the song that we've just sung. Lord, please, as we sit with your word open in front of us this evening, would it become that book you promise it to be, living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, penetrating to the very depths of our hearts. Father, please show us Christ, even in these ancient pages of Moses' preaching to the people of Israel. Lord, we want to see him. We want to love him. We want to understand more of what it means to follow him, the one who first loved us. Oh, Father, please speak to us tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God speaks. We listen. Want to hear his word every day. God speaks. We listen. What's next? Read the Bible, trust and obey. No better way to truly know. Because in the Bible, we meet Jesus. Good. Many of you know it. It's a kids' song that we sing here at church, and many of us know and love. In fact, if you were here this morning, we sang it with the kids this morning. It's a song that many of us will sing with great enthusiasm. Many of us, if we're brave enough, even join in with the actions. But here's my question for you this evening. Does it ring true for you? Does it ring true as you sing it? God speaks. We listen. Well, do you? Do we? Want to hear his word every day? Well, do you really? Do you really want to listen to God every day? Do you really want to hear what the living, almighty, creating God has to say every day? Read the Bible, trust, and obey. Do we? Or is it more like read the Bible, get on with the day? That's good. You can have that rhyme for free. There you go. You see, what place, it's an important question, isn't it, as we gather as the church. What place does the Bible, does the Word of God have in your life? What place do you give it? You see, one of the challenges of Deuteronomy 4, one of the things that we kind of are confronted with, I think, as we listen into this sermon of Moses, is that the loved and rescued and prone to wandering people of God must be those who learn to walk by his words, who listen to the words of God and live them out. See, by that I mean walking by the word. I'm really talking about having a life that is shaped by and molded by and engaging constantly with the words that are revealed to us in the scriptures. You know, if we were to put it kind of in the way that we would call it, it's living a life that is shaped by all that God has revealed to us in the Bible. Our thinking, our behavior, the way we think we approach God, the way we deal with one another when we've had conflicts and arguments, the way we deal with one another in our business, our daily work, whatever that may be. See, as the kids' song puts it, there's no better way to truly know God. There's no better way to truly know us. There's no better way to truly know life than in the Bible, than in God's words. And as the loved and rescued people of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is what the church is. If you're here this evening and you're a disciple of Jesus, we are the loved and rescued people. One of the big takeaways of Deuteronomy 4, and boy, there's so much in there, and we will probably just do a whole sermon series on this chapter. But one of the big takeaways for us tonight is this, that as the loved people of God, the way that we love the one who first loved us is as we walk by his words. As we learn to obey him, as we learn to let everything he has spoken shape our lives, that is how we learn to, or that is how we love the one who first loved us, as we learn to love and live by his words. You see, that is really the big call of this part of the sermon that Moses is preaching. You see, this section that we've just read together tops and tails with Moses calling the people to hear and to obey the words of God. See, come with me to chapter 4, verse 1. Now, Israel, hear the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. See, that's how he starts. That's his big point up front. And then come with me to verse 40. How does he finish? Well, what does he say? Keep his decrees and commands which I'm giving you today, so that it may go well with you and you and your children after you, that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God gives you for all time. You see, having recounted, so where have we got to so far? If you've been with us Sunday evenings, having recounted to the people of God the stories of God's love and his faithfulness and their unfaithfulness, having recounted all those things, he now exhorts them and he says, so please, people of God who have been loved by God and rescued by God and have tasted his faithfulness, please live by God's words. Walk by his words. See, look at verse 1 again. Now Israel, hear. You see, that's a word that's going to come up an awful lot in Deuteronomy, this word hear. It comes from a Hebrew word called Shema, which we talked about in our introduction week. This Hebrew word Shema captures more than just listening, more than just kind of hearing something. It means to hear and to obey. It means to heed and to do. And at its heart, Moses, as he kind of lands sermon number one, as he comes to the end of this first of three sermons, what he exhorts the people to is to hear and obey, to walk by the words of God. This sermon, I don't know if you picked it up as we read, is scattered with these kind of commands. So I'm just going to throw them out there. Maybe you heard them. But words like hear, follow, keep, observe, teach. That's what this sermon is exhorting the people of God to. And what are they being called to obey? Well, again, look at verse 1. Let's just try and get into the details. What is he saying they should walk by? Well, the decrees and laws and commands of God. Now, when you hear those words, I guess most of us in this room kind of think of a list, don't we? So, you know, when you used to go to the swimming pool, perhaps you still go to the swimming pool, you had the pool rules. Do you remember that? The kind of those posters that were up, no running, no jumping, no diving, no fun, no petting, whatever that one was, and all those kind of things. These were the pool rules. And if you wanted to be in the pool, you had to adhere to the rules. And if you didn't live by the rules, if you didn't check all these lists, you'd be kicked out of the pool. And when we hear Moses say in these ancient times, you've got to keep the decrees and the laws, what we're thinking is pool rules. Well, God's put these rules up, no running, no diving, no jumping, no having fun. That's what we think of, isn't it? But what we've got to understand is that when God calls his people to obey his laws and his commands and his decrees, he's calling them to a way of life. It is not just a set of rules, but it's a way of life that lists and helps them to think about how they engage with God. These laws and these decrees which they're called to obey listed out the sacrificial system. How do you approach a holy God? How does a God who's so holy live near his people? So this is what they're called to adhere to. It talks about their worship. But these laws and decrees, this way of life, also help them to deal with one another. And as we hear Moses, these words of Moses calling the saved people of God to obey the God who saved them, I'm hoping that maybe for some of us here tonight, the words of our Lord Jesus may be starting to echo in our ears, ring in our ears as we hear Moses calling the people to that. See, because Jesus calls disciples to very similar actions. See, listen to what he says in John 14, verse 23. Jesus stands before his disciples and he says this, anyone who loves me will obey my commands. See what he calls his people to? If you love me, walk by my words. Again, in Matthew 28, we've got him up here. This is our verse for the year. But what does he send the disciples out to do? He says, go make disciples of all nations. And then you get the middle, but he says, teaching them to obey. You see, obedience, walking by his words, is bound up and tied up with this life that God calls his saved people to. And so come back to me, to my point, you see, we love in this room. If you want to love the one who has first loved you, then it happens as we walk by his words. We walk by the things that he's instructed us to do. And in this chapter, and this is where we're not going to be able to pull out all the details, and I'm sorry for that, but let me just give you four reasons that Moses kind of pushes onto these people to say, why should we be people who obey his words? What's so special about this word that he's given us, these laws and these decrees that we should live by it? Why should we, church, be Bible people? Why should you bother to get this open every day? Why should we bother to sit and listen to this and let this book shape our lives? Well, Moses would say there's four reasons, four big reasons. Are you ready? Here's reason number one. His words are life. His words are life. Look at verse 1 again. Now, Israel, hear the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land. And again, just come with me down to verse 40. Keep his decrees and commands which I'm giving you today so that it may go well with you and your children after you, that you may live long in the land. This little phrase comes up a number of times throughout the book of Deuteronomy. You keep these commands. You are to walk by God's words so that you may live. God's words, and this is crucial, friends, we've got to understand this. His words are life. His words are life. They are a matter of life and death. I did an electrical engineering apprenticeship when I left school. And there were certain instructions that your teachers gave you about electricity. Now, believe me, they were words of life and death. They really were. Nathan, please do not put your screwdriver into that hole. That was an instruction of life and death. Because if you play with electricity in the wrong way, it blows up. But in a similar way, God's instructions to us, God's words to us, are life and death. Look at verse 3 and 4. He gives them an example to prove his point. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor, but all who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. Moses reminds them of an incident in their history. You read about it in Numbers chapter 25, when the people rejected the word of God. They chose not to walk by the word of God. They rejected God himself because him and his words are bound together. They rejected him, and what happened? They were destroyed. It was death. But look at what happened to those who held fast to the word of the Lord. They walked by his words, and they are still alive today. Not today, but when Moses was speaking, they were still alive. Life and death. And ultimately, friends, what God speaks to us, what we have for us here in the Bible, they are words of life and death. That was true for the people that Moses was speaking to, and it is true for us today. See, listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 5. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. It's his words, you see. And they will not be judged because they have crossed over from death to life. Jesus' words are words of life and death. The word of God, you see, leads us to life in Jesus' name. Paul tells Timothy that the scriptures make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That makes what you have on your lap, as tame and as boring as it may seem, a book that contains words that will bring you real life, eternal life. And that's why there are so many warnings in this chapter about rejecting the word of God. Did you notice that as we read? Talks about when you go in and when you do this and you reject this and you'll get sent out of the land. Why? Because God's words are life. They are genuinely life to us. But there's more to it than that. They're not just life and death, but they're life in the sense that they are a richness of life, a fullness of life. You see, there's a rightness and a correctness and a fulfillingness to living God's ways in God's world. God's ways are best. Do you believe that? I hope you do. But there's a fullness to life that comes when you live out God's word and you walk by his word. They are life to us. You see, in verse 40, we read this little instruction, you see. It says, keep God's laws and his decrees, walk by his words, so that it may go well with you. You see, just think about that phrase. so that it may go well with you. That's capturing this idea. It doesn't mean that nothing bad will ever happen to you if you live by the Bible. But what it does mean is it speaks about a fullness of life that is ours as we walk God's ways. A rightness of life, a fulfillingness of life as we walk God's way in God's worlds. We must be Bible people this week. Please? Why? Because God's words are life. They are life to us. And reminds me of that occasion. We started this morning service with it. But it reminds me of that occasion when Peter goes up to the Lord Jesus and he says, Lord, to whom else shall we go? Because you have the words of eternal life. God's words are life. That's why we should be Bible people. Second reason that we should walk by his words is this. His words show his wisdom to the world. His words show his wisdom to the world. Marks and Spencer's sell these sweets called Percy Pigs. Anyone ever indulged in Percy Pigs? Yeah, there's some people. I think they taste like washing up liquid, but my kids absolutely love them. It's like a real hit in our family. Anyway, we recently got given a bag of Percy Pigs, which in our family was a moment of great delight for most of us. And so what I did was that we got given them, and on a Saturday, I gave them to Ethan. And I said, Ethan, could you make sure that these get distributed to all the others? Now, in giving them to Ethan, yeah, he's sitting over there. He did actually do it, in fairness to him. But the point is this. I didn't give them to Ethan with the intention that he would eat them all, that he would kind of hog them to himself. I gave them to him with the purpose that by giving them to one, they would get distributed to the many. Now, giving him to the oldest and the most responsible was clearly the right thing to do. But you see, it's this idea of they come to one and they reach the many. Now, that is the same idea when it comes to God and him giving his word and his ways to one group of people on earth. You see, look at verse 6. Moses said, look, obey, 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 obey. Why? Verse 6. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about all these decrees and say, wow, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Why? Because they have a wise and understanding God who has given them wise and understanding truth. You see, the people of God were to live by the wisdom of God. They were to walk his ways and by his words because it would show God to the nations. He gives to the one that it might reach the many. Just like me giving the Percy Pigs to Ethan that they might reach the rest of my children. You see, this is part of God's great plan to bring blessing to the world. See, actually, it's not just about you and your obeying God. You have now been sucked in by the grace of God to this wonderful plan that as you live out his truth, as your life is shaped by the story of salvation in Jesus' name and living out his ways, you have been sucked into this wonderful thing that God wants to use you to show his wisdom to the world. The wisdom of the cross, the wisdom of his ways, the wisdom of his instructions. Jesus calls his followers, doesn't he, the light of the world. Matthew 5. Jesus sends his followers out with the gospel of Jesus Christ crucified and risen and ascended, returning as judge. He calls us stars shining in the darkness in a crooked and depraved generation. Living by God's words, walking his ways, friends, is going to separate you in some way from this world in which we live. But in separating us, it also puts on display to the world that God's wisdom is good. God's wisdom is best. And we're to be Bible people this week because it is through us, as we walk his ways, as we express our love in that way with his help, that God's wisdom is displayed to the nations. We must be Bible people this week because it's part of the great way that God is going to get his gospel of Jesus, his son, to the nations. See, being Bible people isn't just for your benefit. You realize that? We're quite individualistic in our culture, aren't we? But it's not just for your benefit. It's for the benefit of those who live around you. It's for the benefit of others. So reason one, we've got to be Bible people this week because his words are life. Reason two, his words show his wisdom to the world. Let me give you another reason that we see here why we should be Bible people. And it's this. God's words are how he comes among us. God's words are how he comes among us. See, Moses doesn't want the people of God to miss this, okay? Look at verse 9. Only be careful, Moses tells them, and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words. You saw no form. There was only a voice. You see that? See, Moses asks the people, look at how it goes, verse 10. What does he call them to do? Let's just have a bit of kind of awake participation. What does he call them to do? Verse 10, one thing, remember. Remember, listen to this day. Remember this day. He asks them to recall an event that took place 40 years earlier. They were to bring to mind a day, a spectacular day in their history when God had come, literally turned up among them in person. It was a pretty special day, and it was a day that probably left everyone who was there with little doubt about the realities of God and that God is mighty and that God is holy and God is to be feared. There wasn't a person around that mountain who wasn't quaking in their boots. And how did he come near to them? This is what I want you to observe, okay? Please don't miss this. This is so cool when you see this. How does he come near to them? Look again at verse 12. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but you saw no form. There was only a voice. How does God speak to his people? How does God turn up among his people? How does he arrive? He comes with his words. With his words. What words does he come with? With his laws and his decrees. See, how does he presence himself in this great moment of history? He doesn't turn up as a golden calf. He doesn't turn up as a big statue. He turns up with his words. And that's what he does with his people. And when the fire faded, please get this, if you were to imagine that occasion, when the fire faded and the mountain stopped shaking and the clouds that it describes here disappeared, what were the people of God left with? They were left with his words. Look at verse 13. He declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to follow, and then wrote them down on two stone tablets. You see, when God's magnificent presence left with all the fire and all that's going on around it, what are his people left with? His words written down, and they're left with someone to teach them to them. That's really interesting, isn't it? God's words are written down, and then they're left with Moses, who's going to teach it to them. You see, if I could put it like this, you see, remembering this great day reminded the people of God that everything Moses was about to teach them from these two things written down came from this God, the God who turned up with fire and with power and shakes a mountain and whose presence is terrifying. That God has left them these words to obey. You see, it's why Moses, I think, goes so big. You see, God's word is how God comes among us. God's word is how he speaks, not with idols, not with other things, God's word, his voice. And you see, it's why Moses goes so big on teaching from generation to generation. Have you thought about this? Look at verse 9. What does he call the people of God to do? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you should live. Teach them. See that? Teach them to your children. Teach them to their children after them. Why? Because the word of God passed from generation to generation is how God still speaks to people. It's how God still comes among people. See why? What is it that we need to do for our kids in this church? What is it that we need to do for their kids? What is it we need to do from generation to generation? We need to keep teaching the Bible. Because it's the word of God passed down, how God comes among us and moves among us. His word is how he comes to us. And it's also why Moses goes so big in this chapter on having no idols. You notice that? Look at verse 15 to 19. He says, remember that day when God turned up. How did he turn up? With his voice. So look at verse 15. You saw no form of any kind on that day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the fire. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully so that you do not become corrupt and make for yourself an idol, an image of any shape, whether formed like a man or a woman or any. And it goes on to list all these things, the sky and the sea, all these things. See, an idol is a very subtle way of moving away from the sufficiency of God's words. Do you understand that? You moving away from this voice that God has passed down to us, this bundle of words that he's left us with. An idol says, oh, actually, I think we'd rather have a body with the voice, if that's okay. We'd rather give some, you know, something a bit more than just the words. The words just seems a bit dull, God. Can we not have a big statue at the front? Can we not have a golden cow to kind of look a bit more impressive like the nations around us? And subtly what they're doing is they're just moving away from the fact that God says, I've given you my words. That's enough. See, idolatry is the act of trying to move away from just the sufficiency of having God's word as how God speaks among us. And friends, God's word is still how God comes among us and acts among us today. See, like the people of Israel, we too can look back to a day when God turned up in person and he spoke among us. Think about how the coming of Jesus is described. See, in John 1, verse 1, how does it describe Jesus? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, as you trail down through John 1, what does it say to us? The Word became flesh. See, it's an emphasis on the voice of God again, isn't it? God sent his voice, his word into this world to come among us and to dwell among us and to work in us and for us. And his voice came, and we must listen to this voice. But when Jesus returned to heaven, when the glory of this magnificent moment of God on earth kind of disappeared, what are we left with? What has he left the church with today? His word written down, and people to teach it to us. It's interesting, isn't it? See, listen to these words that Paul writes to Timothy. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, how does God come among us today, friends? How does God move among us? It's with his word. Through his word, the Bible, through his spirit who comes and causes this word to live in us and through us. He hasn't left us with tablets of stone, but he's left us with a written down word, a word that he now writes on the tablets of our heart, Paul tells us in Corinthians. He's left us with his word. It's how he moves among us. And so when you are tempted to be a bit bored of the Bible, do we have to have another sermon? Do we have to do, I get the Bible open at this group every time? When you are a bit bored of the Bible, just remember that this is how God works among us from generation to generation. This is what he left us with as Jesus returned to heaven. See, we've got to remember that God comes among us with his word, with his voice. This book is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. Why? Because God's word is how he comes among us. Do you believe that? If we do believe that, we'll be Bible people. God speaks, we listen. So friends, let's teach it. That's why we're commanded to teach it from generation to generation. Let's share it with others. Let's watch ourselves carefully that we're not enticed to saying, I think actually, God, we're a bit bored of the Bible. We need something a bit more. We need a bit more experience, or we need a bit more kind of something else. No. God says, don't fall in. Don't be enticed to idolatry. Don't try and add a body to the voice. Just listen to God. Listen to his words. Be Bible people because it's how God comes among us. I have one more point, but our time, I think, is gone. Let me do it very, very fast. Here we go. This is the last thing. Why should we be Bible people? Because they're God's words. God's words are God's words. I'm emphasizing the second God there, okay? His words are God's words. You see, in these concluding parts, and I'm not going to get to do it justice, which I'm really sorry about, but Moses, you see, lifts their eyes. Sometimes you hear a voice from a distance, don't you? And you kind of think, oh yeah, I recognize that voice. But then you start to think about whose voice it actually is. And Moses, in this closing section of the sermon, and please go home and read it. Make this your bedtime reading, okay? Please reread when you go home, verse 32 to the end of the chapter. Because here, he says, he lifts their eyes from the particular words he's calling them to obey to the one who speaks them. Who is it that calls for your obedience, friends? Who is it that calls you to walk his ways? Who is it that calls you to have your life shaped by his words? Well, Moses says to them, it's the only true living God. There is none beside him. It's the living God. And it's the God who has loved you. And it's the God who rescued you out of Egypt. And it's the God who has chosen your ancestors. It is that God that you're called to obey. So please obey him, because they're God's words. The living God's words. And friends, isn't it so no different for us? See, what are the people of God to do? Verse 39, acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below. So keep his words. And friends, the same has to be true for us. We must be Bible people, because what we have here are the words of the living God, the only true God, who loved you, who chose you, who sent Jesus into this world to die for you. And if you acknowledge that he is God, then we keep his commands, because they are God's words. They are his living words. So, we love the one who first loved us as we walk by his words. So can I come back to where I started this evening? What place does the Bible have in your life? God speaks, we listen. Want to hear his word every day? God speaks, we listen. Read the Bible, trust and obey. No better way to truly know God. No better way to truly know us. No better way to truly know, because in the Bible, we meet Jesus. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you this evening that you, the living, creating, speaking God, would graciously send your living word into this world, the Lord Jesus Christ, to become flesh and dwell among us. Father, we thank you that Jesus, the living word, has left us with his written word, that we might know life, that we might be those who know what it is to be saved through faith in him. Oh, Father, we thank you for this glorious book that you've left us with. Father, please would we be Bible people this week. Please would we be people who walk by the word, knowing that in our failures there's great forgiveness, because you're a God of mercy and of grace. But Lord, please may we be those who listen and who do. Father, forgive us, please, for the times where we've ignored the Bible or have made little time and space for your word in our life. Lord, please make us Bible people. Make us those who correctly handle the Bible. Make us those who listen to all that you've said. Father, thank you for the Spirit who helps us to understand the Scriptures. Father, please would we as a church increasingly walk by your words as we seek to love you, the one who first loved us. Father, please would we be those as well who teach it to the next generation. Father, please would we have confidence to simply pass it from one generation to the next, trusting that it's your way that you work to save people, to change our lives. Oh Lord, please give us confidence in your word as a church. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.